Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to come to you today as we face the issues. We're going to be talking about an issue today that I think is fitting for every listener under the sound of my voice. Be anxious for nothing. That's a command from Scripture. The word anxious means worried, frightened, hysterical, panic-stricken. Be anxious, panic-stricken, worried, frightened for anything. Let's talk about that in a moment as we go through our dialogue and monologue and then your discussion with us. We're looking forward to you calling in your questions and responses to what's happening across the nation and around the globe. Multitudes today are living sequestered in closeted darkness almost, with the idea that the world's coming to an end. Totally panic-stricken, all hysteric, as a result of the 24/7 fake news media, and they're ginning up what I call hysteria and panic on a national level. Before we get into the monologue, then the dialogue and discussion, let me remind you that when we face an issue, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. I don't know of any better thing, any better resource, any better place for Christians today or individuals today to go to than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. In times like these, we need to seek God, seek His face, turn to Him, confess our sins, and ask Him to heal our land. 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14 reminds us of that. And may I remind us that that is a text that we need to be aware of and look at each day in relationship to what we see taking place. As we face the issues, we do so based on truth. The Scripture is very clear that the Word of God is truth. It's not just a place where you can find truth. It's not just a place where there's a tad or a tidbit, as I'd call it, a truth. It is a book of truth. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. Jesus said to His disciples, "If you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He made that statement to His disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And then to further, if you please, seal for our understanding what truth is, Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that I am encouraging us to adhere to, turn to, listen to, and study in these days that's before us. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can hear what you're saying, listen to your dialogue that we might have discussion on it. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that says, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And I think that's exactly what we're seeing. If you don't believe that, listen to some of the answers that Nancy Pelosi gives when she's asked direct questions about what went into the bill that was just passed for the virus, that it might help the citizens go back to work. Out of a $2 trillion bill, about half of it is split up with garbage that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and the Marxist socialist left put in there. And so we need to understand that we're in a society today that truth is not relevant. Truth is not something that is sought. Contrary to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death." And I think that's if you want to use it as a mantra or as a challenge or a call, I believe that as Christians today, that ought to be our mantra. That ought to be our challenge. That ought to be our call, is to stand for the truth. There were Trey Gowdy just recently ceased to run for office, went back to his position in prosecutorial work in the state of South Carolina. And Trey Gowdy was asked the question, why are you leaving Washington? Why are you not running again? He said, when I first came here, I thought as a prosecutor that it was just like in a courtroom, you seek the truth. But he said, I have discovered that in Washington, they have no interest in truth whatsoever. And that was coming from a prosecutor slash politician. He said, in Washington, they're not seeking the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. It also carries a full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries all of the hurricane preparedness equipment, the generators, and they have a full staff of people that know how to answer your questions, give you insight and direction on how to use the equipment that is sold at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, where the gigantic American flag flies 24/7. Find the flag in the flagpole at the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today on the set a friend, a Christian brother, and one that is a student in Conservative Theological University, Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis is going to be with us through this broadcast today. After a few words of monologue, we're going to have some dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about what's happening in America today that's bringing about panic and fright and fear on every hand. And we're going to be talking about what the Word of God says, which I believe is the antidote for what we see taking place in America with the fright and fear. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible commands us, the scripture found in Philippians 4:6. I'm going to break it down for us to have a little more emphasis with what the text says. In Philippians 4:6, the scripture says, and by the way, it's a command. In the Greek text, it's in the imperative voice. That means it's a command from God. It's not an option. It's not something we can pick or choose or decide if we want to do it or not. As Christians, we have an obligation to be obedient to God's commands in the scripture. And this Philippians 4:6 is a command. Be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious, worried, fearful. If you put it in today's vernacular based on the coronavirus pandemic scare, it is talking about panic. It is talking about hysteria. Be hysterical for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be worried for nothing. Be panic-stricken for nothing. For nothing. That nothing means not anything. Not a little thing, not a big thing. But in everything, that is every little thing, every big thing, by prayer, the word by is the Greek word dia, the access, the avenue. What do we do if we're not going to be worried, not going to be anxious, not going to be fretful, not going to be panic-stricken in hysteria? What do we do? How do we do? The scripture is very clear. But by prayer and supplication, prayer is talking about talking to God. Supplication is express requests from God. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let, and it's in the continuing voice in the Greek text, means keep on letting. Don't stop letting. Always doing. Ever present in our lives. Let your requests be made known. Requests, petitions, be made known unto God. So what God is saying, ladies and gentlemen, it's a very, very powerful statement there. It is saying we're not, as Christians, listen, if you're saved today, this is applicable to you. It's not applicable to the lost person. Lost person needs, first of all, know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And after that, there's the mandate, the command of the scripture, that we're to be anxious for nothing, but by prayer, be a dia through the access, the avenue of prayer and supplication, we have the responsibility with thanksgiving to keep on letting our requests be made known unto the Lord. Now, listen Amen. Very carefully.
Amen.
Brother Davis, I want our listeners to understand this. We can understand this verse theologically, philosophically, and intellectually. But, Brother Davis, one of the most difficult things I believe for you to do, for me to do, or any human being listening today, is to put it into actual practical aspect in our lives,
Amen.
Is to apply it, just simply to apply it. Brother Davis, may I ask you a question? Based on the brief portion that I've talked about in this portion of the monologue with that verse of scripture, tell us a little bit about, number one, so that folks will know where you're coming from. What do you do? What is your calling in your pastoring your church? What is your church doing? How are you responding to your people? How are your people responding? Are your people panic-stricken? How are you leading them in regard to what is happening in the world today? And what are the words that you'd give to our listeners today about not being panic-stricken, but being faithful rather than frightened?
Amen. Well, first of all, I just want to give God the honor and the praise for being here on today. And I want to say hello to all my family and friends that may be listening on today.
Amen.
At the very onset of this panic stricken thing that's gripped society, we have been giving them the word of God.
Amen.
Because
no better antidote.
Our security, everything we need, we can find that in the word of God. What we need to do is remember the words of Jesus when he told the disciples to fear not, little flock.
That's right.
He said, it's the Father's good will to give you the kingdom.
That's right.
So if we trust in the words of God on today and remember, amen, that whatever he tells us, God is a keeper of his word.
Yes.
If we learn how to trust and depend on him on today, everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
Now, my calling is a teacher called by God.
Amen.
And I try to get out to everyone, everywhere, every chance I get to stress the importance today of us turning our focus and attention toward God.
Yes.
I think one good thing that's going to come out of this fear and panic and all of these things, all the shutdown and how they are keeping people confined to certain areas, maybe God is bringing us back together now, because there was a point in time in life over the past few years that everybody seemed to go in separate directions.
Yes, that's right.
In the family, you know, even they don't eat at the same dinner table anymore. Mm-hmm. But now, since, you know, everybody can't split up and go different directions, he can sit us all down and get our attention together.
Yeah, I just said the other day, some good things that are coming out of this coronavirus and the panic, the pandemic, is that moms and dads know where their kids are.
Amen.
Kids know where mom and dad are located. They're all under the same roof eating at the same time, generally speaking. Now, I know that is not applicable in every case, but it has caused families to come back together. You're exactly right.
Amen.
Continue
with
your thought.
Amen. And I will voice the opinion that my son said the other day in church. We started talking about this and having a discussion about what's going on and how we should do to maybe comfort our church members. And my wife is so good at this. She likes to send out text messages on a daily basis, verses of scripture to encourage the believers
yes.
out there. I mean, and when I say believers, listen, when I say believers, I mean, you got to totally believe in God. You don't need not even one inkling of fear in your soul.
That's right.
Because the Bible tells us that perfect love, if we develop that perfect love for God, that perfect love is the thing that casts out fear.
All fear.
Because fear, the same fear that's in the world, that's the kind that brings torment. And that's why we see so much uproar, so much right. things out of place on right. today. People running around trying to figure out, what should I do next?
Mm-hmm.
Well, believers shouldn't have the same kind of fear that the world has.
Right.
Because we got a God on our side.
Amen.
And he is the remedy. I stopped by to tell you on today, he is the remedy for the world on today. If we just learn how to totally trust and depend on him and take his word at face value.
Yes.
We come to know and understand that God said in this holy word, he said, before one jot or one tittle of my word fail, he said, the whole heaven and the earth is going to pass away. That's a lot of power, Dr. Youngblood.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I pray that you're listening today, ladies and gentlemen, and feel free at any point in time in this broadcast today to just pick up your telephone and dial 831-0917. This is Let's Face the Issues. You're tuned in today. This is Dr. Youngblood speaking. My guest today is Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis is up in Georgia, and he's driven to about an hour plus to get here for the set today for us to talk, and I'm delighted he's able to be here. He's one of the students enrolled in Conservative Theological University, and I'm thankful for his, he's what you would call, academically speaking, an A student. I'm
Amen.
Thankful for that. I am
Amen.
Thankful for that. He loves the Lord, loves the Word. It's always a joy of mine to be in the classroom where he is seated, and for us to have the privilege to look at the Word of God together. Pastor Davis, take just 1 minute, and let's just do a little what you would call commercial inset at this point. Tell our listeners, would you recommend Conservative Theological University? Are you learning? Is it beneficial? Is it a blessing for you to study with CTU?
Well, let me just say on today, Dr. Youngblood, when I first came here, I didn't know what to expect. But after I got here, let me tell you, I'm really, really loving it.
Amen.
And everybody I see, I tell them about, you know, the studies here. I tell them about the great school, the great campus, the great church. And most of all, I always have to highlight you and Dr. Phelps. I mean, I have never seen teachers of the Word of God that can really break it down so that even the simplest person in the world could understand it.
Amen.
And it's so great. It's so wonderful to be able to sit together in fellowship with other believers that are trying to learn. Now, we have pastors over here. We have a couple of bishops that said that they needed to further their education. I mean, listen, we don't need to be ashamed if we don't really know what we should know.
That's right.
According to the word of God, then we need to know that we are incomplete for the job.
You got it.
But when you come here to Conservative Theological University, let me tell you something, people. You are really missing out on a treat if you have not found out what this is yet. I call it the best kept secret in Jacksonville.
Amen.
But if you ever get over here, I will tell you, you will be glad that you made the decision to come here.
Amen. It'll be a blessing. And the thing is, studying the word, and I've said, Pastor Davis, that from my standpoint, I could be a professional 24-hour, 7-day-a-week student. I love the word, love studying the word.
Amen.
Love digging, as I call it, getting under the rocks of the word and seeing what's there.
Amen.
And letting
Amen.
God speak to us. And it's a challenge. And let me say this to our listeners, Pastor. There may be someone out there that's been in pastoral ministry bivocationally. You may be full-time. You may be in a staff position in your church. It may be that you have a sense that it's you're just too busy and you cannot take time to study. I've said to students for the past 37 years, especially in a classroom setting, we don't have but 168 hours a week. All of us have the same clock time, 168
Amen.
Hours. So with that, it's not a matter of being studying for academics in the class and studying for the preparation of your messages for preaching and teaching on Sunday. Whatever you're learning in the classroom, replicate that in the pulpit or in the classroom for your members as you're preaching and teaching. Let it be that which you're learning in the classroom. That will cause you to dig deeper. That will cause you to have a greater sense of insight into the Word of God and a greater joy in the preaching and the teaching of the Word. So it's
Amen.
Not a matter of finding a day stretcher. We won't find that.
Amen.
Davis. I've been searching for a day stretcher for many years. You don't find it out there. So we can take the same clock hours and use it for studying for the academics, for our credentials, and then use that to replicate in the classroom. But Brother Davis, I'm thankful for the Word of God and for the privilege we have of studying it. But getting back to the thought we're talking about today, being anxious for nothing, being anxious for nothing. Today, ladies and gentlemen, the news, especially the fake media, seems to hype everything, broadcasting with fanning the flames, as I call it, each and every day. And that's fanning the flames of fear, ladies and gentlemen. The fake news broadcast says that perhaps 50%, listen, the latest news this morning, I was listening at about 6:30 this morning. The latest news was when you turn to the Communist Network News, CNN Network News, Communist Network News, when you turn to that, they said about 50% of all New Yorkers were going to get the coronavirus.
Yet
the actual data indicates that we're seeing a reduction of infection and a dramatic decrease in the mortality rate. Just consider some of the major news headlines. And we'll talk about those news headlines in a moment. Let me give you some illustrations, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article that says coronavirus mapping sites predictions have fallen short. The predictions have fallen short. This is a mega article. The subtitle says something more sinister than just wrong information is taking place. A major source of information upon which government leaders have relied on to urge to order the canceling of public events, shutdown of businesses, and the sheltering in place has proven to be inaccurate. The Federalist Madeline Osborne points out many members of the media and state officials are relying on an online mapping tool called Corona Act Now. The site, which a map catastrophically forecasts for each state, boasts of enabling political leaders to quickly make decisions in their coronavirus response informed by the best available data and modeling, the article says.
My.
But this article, ladies and gentlemen, listen, I'm reading directly from the article. But a closer look at how many of the Coronavirus Acts Now predictions have already fallen short and how they became an ubiquitous source across the country overnight suggests something more sinister, according to the writer. The writer says the bogus data set, D-A-T-A, the bogus data set, scare large and small state officials into making rash economic killing mandates. The impact of the site cannot be ignored. The NBC affiliate in Dallas embedded the model. Listen, the NBC affiliate in Dallas embedded the model into the story on shelter-in-place order, and newspapers in Oregon published the story featuring the predictions about a point of no return, end quote. It's been used by the Michigan Democratic governor. Georgia CBS report, others say, are saying. But its predictions already have proven widely incorrect and wrong. In New York, the COVID Act now claims nearly 5,400 New Yorkers would have been hospitalized by March 19th. The actual number of hospitalizations is only 750. Hear what I'm saying? This article, ladies and gentlemen, that all of the governors and mayors are going to online, and I'll tell you who wrote that data for that online source in a moment. They claimed that by March the 19th, 5,400 New Yorkers would be hospitalized, and they are only 750. The site also claimed nearly 13,000 New York hospitalizations by March the 23rd. The actual number is only 2,500 as of that date. It goes on, ladies and gentlemen, and time will not allow us to give all of the details. Let me skip forward and read you some further things. There's more. The report noted that the COVID Act now predicted 688 hospitalizations in Georgia by March 23rd. There were 800 cases in the state and only 300 hospitalizations. This is the thing that I want you to hear, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, founders of the site, we're talking about an online website that gives calculations for governors and mayors and leaders across America to go to and look at the data and do the extrapolation as to the facts of what's taking place in their community, in their region. This article says the founders of the site include Democratic Representative Jonathan Kress Tompkins and three Silicon Valley tech workers and Democrat activists Zachary Rosen, Max Henderson, and Igor Hoffman, who are all also donors of various Democratic campaigns and political organizations since 2016. Henderson and Kaufman donated to the Hillary Clinton campaign in 2016, while Rosen donated to the Democratic National Committee, recently resigned Democratic Representative Katie Hill and other Democratic candidates. Hear what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. This website that's online that gives the calculations, they have developed the website by the Trump-hating Democratic folks that have determined that this is the best way to bring Trump down is to give false data, and every mayor and governor across America is using that basic data line, which has entered into it false premises and false prerequisites that cause you to have a false understanding of what's happening in America. Now, listen carefully. This virus is dangerous. This virus will kill some people, unfortunately, but it's not the pandemic that we're being told that it is.
Amen.
Brother Davis, what do you think?
You know, Dr. Youngblood, after listening to all the information that you've collected there, and you're so great at doing that, I must commend you on that. And that's very important. That's vital for the body of Christ.
That's right.
Because so many people are listening to this false information, and that's what's really causing them to panic and run about.
That's
trying
it.
To figure out what should we do next.
Running to and
fro. It's just a terrible situation. And that was a part of my greatest fears from the start when this thing first started out, is that maybe someone would take this information to accomplish evil ends instead of something
it's
good
being done, brother,
that would really help the American public and the church family as a whole.
That's right. It's really being done. Here's another article, Brother Davis, that says coronavirus is being weaponized by George Soros and other anti-Trump ads. The Chinese coronavirus is being weaponized by opponents of President Trump, who will spend millions upon millions of dollars to oppose the president in several Mideastern states, Midwest states. In the Democratic Party's leading super PAC, the super PAC called Patriots, a Priorities USA Action Plan, is spending $6 million this week alone on political ads criticizing the president over the Chinese coronavirus. A key money man behind the move is liberal billionaire George Soros.
My.
The report cites the Federal Election Commission paperwork showing Soros Democratic PAC gave $3 million for the cause, which was 77% of the $3.9 million the PAC reported receiving just last month. Overall, Priorities USA plans to spend an average of $150 million in these key battleground states like Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. The Free Beacon reported Priorities USA is not the only group using the coronavirus pandemic to attack Trump. And it goes on talking about several other organizations that's using the coronavirus information, twisting it, perverting it, giving false data, causing the whole nation to be in a panic-stricken condition. But Brother Davis, I want to talk about some of the things that leads us then to the major point. Ladies and gentlemen, the end result of what I'm wanting to do, and I pray that we can accomplish on this broadcast today, is not just talking about the gory, good, bad, and the ugly. I want us to trickle down to looking at, Brother Davis, what does the Word of God say? What can we leave with our listeners today that they can go to the Word of God and hang on to for a life support system in this tragic day in which we're living? Because when you go to the newspapers, when you go to the 24/7 panic news media, ladies and gentlemen, let me just run down some of the headlines that we're seeing on the national news. Airlines shutting down, millions out of work, shelter in place, cannot leave your home. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Washington State, they've already given an order that with one family that was leaving, they thought too often, they put a security officer at the end of his driveway. In one of the communities in California, they've said that if you leave your home without permission, we're going to shut your water and your lights off. Now, what can you think can be any more of an ingredient for panic than those statements like that? Just the word pandemic, Brother Davis, brings the fear and the agony, the anxiety. Then there's other headlines, not enough hospital beds. We're hearing that today that we have only, I believe it's something like 55,000 to 5,000 hospital beds across America. They're building now with federal funds, federal taxpayer dollars. They're building, I think it's three hospital, emergency hospital centers in New York alone as we're speaking, because there's the fear that they're going to run out of hospital rooms. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It was the state of New York that criticized President Donald J. Trump, first of all, for shutting down the bringing in of folks from China when he shut the borders and said they could not come in. It was New York State and New York City that criticized him first. And because they had open borders, because they have allowed an whole entourage of those coming into New York City and the state of New York that are illegals coming in with all kinds of diseases being brought into the nation and saying that we are a sanctuary city and a sanctuary state, they're seeing, in my most humble opinion, Brother Davis, result of it. Result of saying we're going to embrace anything and everything. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump has, with loving kindness, with open arms, embraced every request that's been made by the governor of the state of New York and the mayor of New York City. Amen. But they're claiming now in New York that they do not have enough hospital beds, and so federal dollars are spending mega millions to stand up overnight hospital beds, hospital rooms, emergency hospitals that's being set up. Headline news talking about we have no cure, no medication for the virus. That's the thing that they're saying over and over and over, that there's no cure for the virus, nothing that can be done. It's a hopeless case. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article here that says this. Government secretly decides who's going to get medical care in hospitals. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that in Washington State, they're making the determination now by their panel of leadership and the CEOs for the hospitals in Washington State. They're determining how they're going to ration hospital beds. Once that hits the public news, ladies and gentlemen, and it has, it causes panic, because if your grandmother, if your mother, if your son or your daughter goes to the hospital, they're going to decide, and this is what they're doing. The article says Washington State officials and clinicians have discussed the potentiality of rationing health care across the state for coronavirus patients. Medical leaders in the state with the highest number of coronavirus deaths in the country, they have 74 as of last Thursday, have begun preparing a bleak strategy to determine which patients will be denied medical care if the health system becomes overwhelmed, according to the New York Times. Leaders are considering a triage document to assess certain facts. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. If this doesn't cause panic, nothing can. They're considering your age, your health, the likelihood of your survival, and determining who will get medical care and who will not. In other words, it's the survival of the fittest mindset that's being strategized in our nation today. And ladies and gentlemen, that's causing panic as nothing else could cause panic. And yet we want to understand there is hope. And that is in nothing less and nothing more than Jesus Christ. Brother Davis, we've got about a minute left before our top of the hour news break. Say something regarding the monologue, what I've just said. How should we respond? Got about 30 seconds.
Well, basically, I'm hoping that the information that we have shared with the believers on today will encourage them to stick with the Word of God no matter what happens. I mean, just trust in God fully with all your heart. Amen. Like that third proverb said, and lean not to your own understanding.
Sticking to the word. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Be right back. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll stay tuned to Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.